Turn your Bibles with me to Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9. A familiar Christmas passage with a wonderful, wonderful message of hope. That's what we find here in Isaiah chapter 9. We're going to look at verse 1, read down to verse 7 of Isaiah chapter 9. The Bible says, "Nevertheless, the gloom will not be upon her who is distressed, as when at first he lightly esteemed the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward more heavily oppressed her by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan in Galilee of the Gentiles." You can turn me down just a little bit, Jerry. "The people who walked in darkness have seen great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. You have multiplied the nation and increased its joy. They rejoiced before you according to the joy of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For you have broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every warrior's sandal from the noisy battle and garments rolled in blood will be used for burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice, from that time forward even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." When I think of this passage, one of the things that comes to mind is that phrase, light at the end of the tunnel. We've all heard that phrase, there's light at the end of the tunnel. And it's become a phrase that offers us hope. Because we know that if we were in a dark tunnel, and we could not find a way out. Maybe it was a cave or something like that. And we could not find our way out. And all we could see is nothing. And there was darkness all around us. And as we walked through that tunnel, we were able to see a glimmer of light, showing us that there's a way out, showing us that there's hope in getting out of this darkness and this cave. It would offer us hope in our hearts. Well, the greatest light at the end of the tunnel is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to understand what's going on in this passage of Scripture. Isaiah the prophet is prophesying to a nation who doesn't see any light at the end of the tunnel. They are being oppressed by countries around them, and God is allowing them to be oppressed because of their sin. But God is not a God who does not offer hope, even though we are oppressed. God offers hope because of his great mercy to everyone who is oppressed. And I want you to know that today. I want you to know that the plan of salvation that God has ordered before the beginning of time is one that will offer you hope even though you may be oppressed right now. And that's what I want you to see here today. I want you to see God's wonderful plan of salvation and offer of hope for your life, because it is a perfect plan. This is a plan that is so wonderful and so intricate that there's no need for us to look for any other plan. And there is no other plan in God's eyes for our salvation. There is no plan B. And why should there be? This is a perfect plan, a plan that gives us all the hope and joy and peace that we could ever want for all eternity. And that hope comes through the birth of a son. We see in this passage of Scripture that for unto us a son is born, unto us a child is given. This is the hope and the plan that God had, that Jesus would be born in a manger, that he would come to this earth and be born and offer us a great hope. And that's what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. So as we look at this passage and we look at the promises that are in this passage, and I want you to see that this is not just a prophecy about what Jesus would do in the future, but it is a promise to all who would believe in Jesus. As we look at these promises, I want you to see that this is the foundation of your salvation and your faith. So, first of all, I want you to understand that these promises made in this passage were the foundation of your faith before Jesus even came. Before Jesus even came, this was the foundation of our faith, of the salvation of mankind. We see here that God's judgment on his people, Israel, is going to end. And it did end, and it will end. The distress will end. Why? Because they had seen a great light. We see here in verse 2, it says, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them light has shined. You know what? You may feel like you're walking through the shadow of death sometimes. You may feel like you are in darkness in your life. But I want you to know something. You don't have to. You don't have to feel like that, because you have seen a great light. We have revealed to us from the Scriptures and from the events of God's plan a great light revealed to us. Jesus Christ, he is our light. And because we have that revealed light given to us, we can have hope. We don't have to dwell in darkness. We don't have to be oppressed in our heart anymore. Jesus said that he was this light spoken of here in Isaiah. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4 is the first book of the New Testament. In verse 12, it says, now when Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he departed to Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is by the sea, in the regions of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, this is the same passage we just read, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And upon those who sat in the region and the shadow of death, light has dawned. You see, Jesus fulfilled this prophecy that was prophesied 800 years earlier, by the way. He fulfilled this by going to the land of Naphtali and Zebulun and telling them about the wonderful hope he would bring them. Can you imagine that? As these people saw Jesus coming, as they heard his words of hope, as they realized that he was the fulfillment of promise from God. Can you imagine the joy that came to their hearts as they believed Jesus? Let me tell you something. Our joy and our hope over oppression in our lives is wrapped up in knowing Jesus. It's wrapped up in knowing Him. And when people got to know Him in that land, they realized they had a hope. They had seen the light. We often hear that phrase, they've seen the light. Well, when you see the light of Jesus Christ, your life is transformed, and you have a hope that you can cling to and rely on and believe and give you hope and peace and joy, even in times of oppression. At this point in time in Matthew, the nation of Israel was being oppressed by the Roman government. And so I imagine that this hope that Jesus offered them was very wonderful in their eyes. And I'm sure that if you will embrace the light of Jesus Christ, if you will let Him be your Prince of Peace, you will be so happy. You will overcome oppression. Remember what the Bible calls Jesus, the Prince of Peace. He gave assurance to people that were oppressed that someday they would have peace. You know what? You can have peace in your heart right now. You can have peace in your heart. How do you get this peace? The more you get to know Jesus, the more peace you're going to have in your life. You see, Jesus is peace, okay? He is the Prince of Peace. So the closer you get to Jesus, the more you're going to understand and feel His peace. The more you get away from Jesus, the less peace you're going to have. That's how the Lord has designed us. He wants us to be close to Him so that we can know Him and know His peace. That's what He wants for our lives. He is the Prince of Peace. No peace, no real peace comes without Jesus, because He is peace. He can give anyone under oppression from the difficulties of life peace when they trust in Him. So the question is, are you trusting in the Lord? The light of Jesus, the light of Jesus gives us hope. And even just a little light, even just a little of Jesus can give you hope. The story is told of a family who lost a 7-year-old son. They experienced all the dynamics of grief as they dealt with the different stages, listening to the counselors and experts, trying to do everything exactly as it's supposed to be done. They felt that they were dealing with the grief fairly successful until Christmas came. And it was time to put up the Christmas tree. When the family gathered to put up the tree and start hanging ornaments on its limbs, the mother realized that some of the ornaments had been made by their son, who was now gone. So as she was putting them up, tears began to flow. Their older son, whose name was Jim, all of 10 years old, came to her and put her arm around her and said, "Mom, I miss Dougie too." "Do you miss Dougie?" "Oh, yes, I miss him more than you'll ever know," Mom said. He said, "Well, Mom, Christmas is when we celebrate the birth of Jesus, isn't it?" She answered, "Yes, that's right, Jim, it is." "And Dougie has gone to be with Jesus, hasn't he?" "Yes, that's right," she said. "He's gone to be with Jesus. Then that must mean that Dougie is having more fun than we are." Mom said, "I guess that's right. He is having more fun than we are." You see, a 10-year-old child who knew a little bit about Jesus, a 10-year-old child who knew a little bit about Jesus, had enough hope to help him and his mother in this great time of grief. And that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about you having enough hope in the Lord Jesus Christ that no matter what you face or what potential problems you face in the future, you will have hope that will give you peace, that will give you joy. That's why Jesus came. You understand that, right? You understand that Jesus didn't just come to this earth for us to have a nice play on Christmas, right? You understand that Jesus didn't just come so that we could put up a pretty ornaments and a tree and be able to give everybody's gifts and have a nice a big fellowship dinner, right? Which I'm looking forward to, by the way. That lasagna really looked good. And so anyways, but it's more than that. Jesus came so that you could have peace. That's why he's called the Prince of Peace. He's called this so that you could have hope. And that's what he wants to offer you. That's why all these promises were fulfilled. You see, the promises are the foundation of our faith even after Jesus came to this earth. Now think about this for a minute. We just saw in Matthew how Jesus fulfilled one of the prophecies. Understand something. Jesus fulfilled all of the prophecies that were predicted about him in his life. Now that is an amazing feat. We see that the promise of the Messiah came through his birth as a child. His birth was a big sign that better days were to come. You see, that's what I want you to remember too. Better days are coming. Christmas should remind us not of what's wrong in our world right now, but that better days are coming for us who trust in him. This is why we celebrate the birth of Jesus. It was a major part of the plan of salvation for all mankind. And so it had to be a fulfillment of all these prophecies so that we would believe. In Genesis 3:15, we're told of the promise of the seed of promise. That was Jesus. Not only that, in Isaiah, just a couple chapters earlier, it tells us that this Messiah, Jesus, would be born to a virgin. Look at this in verse 14 of chapter 7. It says, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. He's saying, this is the sign of your hope of the coming Messiah. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. What an awesome prediction. Think about that for a minute. Not only would he fulfill this promise of going to the land of Zebulun and Naphtali, but he would also be born of a virgin. Now that's unbelievable to be able to make that proclaim unless you're God. God can do that. He can fulfill a promise like that even 800 years later. And that's what we see here. We see Jesus fulfill this promise, this miraculous promise of a coming Messiah. The virgin birth really did happen. It really did. And we need to embrace it and trust that it did happen. It was predicted and it happened. Only God could orchestrate all the things. As I was in the nativity play and I was watching this morning, I realized something. That there's no way anyone could orchestrate the virgin birth and the events surrounding the birth except for God. There's just no way. A star to guide the wise men? Just a lowly stable for baby Jesus to be born in? All the things that had to happen. The angel telling the shepherds. I mean, who cued the shepherds in? Who cued them in to come to Bethlehem? Think about that for a minute. It had to be the Lord. It had to be him. There's no way that this could happen. It's outside the realm of possibility for what Jesus did to be possible, except he be God, and God be doing this. He was the descendant of King David. That's another one of the prophecies we see in Jeremiah 23:5. He was born in Bethlehem. We saw that this morning. That was prophesied by Micah in chapter 5 in verses 1 and 2. So there's all these prophecies. This is just four of them, but there are many more. And to think about the possibility of one person being able to fulfill these is mind-boggling. In his book, Science Speaks, Peter Stoner applies the modern science of probability to just 8 of the prophecies regarding Christ. He says the chance that any man might have fulfilled all 8 prophecies, just 8, and there's many more than that, but just 8 prophecies, is 1 in a 10 to the 17th. That is, would be 1 in 100 quadrillion. That's a 1 with 17 zeros at the end of it. Kind of like George's paycheck, you know what I'm saying? Just kidding, George. 1 in 100 quadrillion. That is the odds that one person could fulfill just 8 of these prophecies. Now, he gives an illustration to kind of help us understand how big of how impossible this is. 100 quadrillion, if you took 100 quadrillion silver dollars and you stacked them in the state of Texas, and we all know Texas is big, right? 100 quadrillion silver dollars would stack 2 feet high across the whole state. That's a lot. Now, if you marked just one of those 100 quadrillion coins and mixed them all up in the state, mixed it all up with that one, and then you blindfolded someone and said you can travel all over the state, you can't take off your blindfold, but you got to pick one coin, and it has to be that one that we marked. That's the odds of a person fulfilling just 1 in 8 of the prophecies about Jesus Christ. Now that just goes to show us Christ and Christ alone is the Messiah. He is the one that is our hope. He is the one that is talked about here in Isaiah. He is the one that's talked about in Micah. He is the one that's talked about in Genesis. He is the one and the only one, because he is the only one that could possibly fulfill all of these prophecies. We not only have his birth as a sign of our hope in Christ, but we have his death, burial, and resurrection. You see, before Jesus came, they didn't understand that fully. But we do. We understand that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again. We have that event, that factual event, to hold on to and give us hope. Not only his birth, but his death, burial, and resurrection. So God's plan of salvation has been even more revealed to us. Jesus has shown us through his words that he is a wonderful counselor. That's the other thing we have that they didn't have. Think about all the wonderful instruction that we have in the Bible from the words and mouth of Jesus himself. He is a wonderful counselor. He has shown that he is a great counselor. You know, when we're oppressed, when we're down, the best counseling we can get is from Jesus Christ himself. When we are down and oppressed, the best counseling we can get is from Jesus Christ himself. Why? Because He's the Wonderful Counselor. He is the Wonderful Counselor. He is the one that wants us to come to Him for counseling. Everything He instructs us in is perfect wisdom. He showed us He is the mighty God through the miracles of His resurrection. Jesus wants to be our Counselor and Savior. Trust in Him. He will guide you in your life and give you hope for the future. And then finally, the messianic promises are our future hope because of what He has promised to do in the future. Now, look at verse 6. Verse 6 says, in chapter 9 it says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon His shoulder, and His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Now, this verse is actually two prophecies about the Messiah, Jesus. One is talking about His first coming, and the other is talking about His second coming. So we see this prophecy was partially fulfilled when Jesus came the first time. It is going to be fully fulfilled when He comes the second time. You see, the future hope of all mankind is Jesus. The future hope of all mankind is Jesus. Why? Because He's the Everlasting Father. He is the Everlasting Father. In Him lies eternity. In Him lies eternal life. And Jesus is coming again to give us that eternal life. Wow. What a hope we have. Jesus Christ, all the promises of the past, all the promises that He made while He was on earth, and the promise of our future hope is all tied up in Him. And we can have a wonderful hope. We can have a wonderful counselor. We can have peace in our heart because of Jesus. And all we got to do is trust in Him. Trust in Him. Trust that His plan for your salvation is true. That you need Him because you are a sinner and you need your sins forgiven. That's why He died on the cross, so that He could pay for your sins, so that you could have your sins forgiven and have eternal life. And if you'll trust in Him, He will not only give you that eternal life, that hope, but because of that, you'll have peace in your heart. You'll be able to look to His words, and He will speak to you through His Holy Spirit and give you wonderful counseling. That's what Jesus offers you. He offers you something that you cannot get anywhere else. And that's why we celebrate Christmas, because in Him is our hope. In Him is our eternal peace. And that peace will come because the government will be upon His shoulders. I'll be glad when we have Jesus as our president. Amen? Definitely. I will definitely be glad when Jesus is our president. These presidential debates make me long for President Jesus. Amen? And so I'm looking forward to that day. And that is what we have in our hope. You know, you don't have to look long on the news to see that this world is oppressed, that this world is without hope except for Jesus. Listen, He offers you a great hope. Trust in Him. Accept Him into your life. Be willing to take His guidance for your life. He will not lead you down the path of destruction, but by the path of life. The life that leads to peace, that's what He wants for you. And like I said, as you draw closer to Him and you walk in His steps, the steps that He wants you to take, it will lead you down a path of peace. That's what He promises to all who will believe. And it all started in the manger. Amen. Praise God.